from Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. This is the Beer of the Day Podcast. Tonight's show is a very special one that I have been waiting a long time for. It's the Sierra Nevada show, and we have six different beers from Sierra Nevada to try tonight, including the barrel-aged trifecta, barrel-aged Ovila, barrel-aged Narwhal, and barrel-aged Bigfoot barley wine. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight, Andy Hamilton, Steve Williamson, and on Skype from Pasadena, Jeff Miller. Sierra Nevada show, guys.
About time. Been waiting to do this one.
Yeah.
Me too.
We've been saving up a bunch of Sierra Nevada beer, and it just so happens that a few really good ones have come out lately, and so we get to try them all tonight. Six beers.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I mean, I can honestly say that Sierra Nevada is probably the brewery that got me into craft beer many, many years ago. It's a long time in the making.
I think that's true for
a lot of people,
a whole lot of people, especially early on in this craft beer renaissance. Before we get to the first beer, though, let's talk about any beers that we've had this week that were interesting and someone wants to mention.
I got one.
Okay.
So I just picked this up maybe like 5 days ago, and had it not been for a previous podcast, I probably would not have bought this, but I was at the store and I saw this collaboration between Boulevard Brewing Company and Cigar City from Florida. And it's called the Collaboration Number 5. It's a tropical pale ale. I sent you guys a picture of it, but I had it a couple days ago. It is really good. It was one of these very fruity pale ales, but it also had kind of a sour, kind of a tart aftertaste. It reminded me of like a fruity pale ale, but the tartness from the Telltale Tart that we had. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we all loved every one of those Boulevard beers that we had a few weeks ago. So great beer. Highly recommended.
Yeah, if I see a collaboration from Boulevard, I'll try it. I won't hesitate.
Last night, they had a Stone tap takeover at OTP, and I had the depth-charged Double Bastard. And that beer was no joke. I mean, it was a very strong beer. It's an American strong, and it's brewed with espresso. So it's kind of a coffee beer, but it is just really bricky red, and it's a very strong beer, very gritty. It's not for everybody, but if you like really American strongs or really dark, strong ales, that's a beer for you. All right, well, let's move into the first beer of the day. We have Old Chico Pale Bock. And I was at the store the other day and just happened to see this one and hadn't had it before. So anytime you see a Sierra Nevada beer you haven't had before, you have to give it a try.
So I don't have this one, but just to surprise you guys a little bit, I happened to open a Ruthless Rye, also from Sierra Nevada. That's what I'm drinking right now. So I'm going to drink this while you guys have your beer at your end.
All right. So there's several beers in this Old Chico series, and I'll tell you what it is, but unfortunately the year thing, it's stuck on the age, asking my age, and I can't get past it.
What are you really trying to watch over there?
The Old Chico Brewery operated between 1865 and 1899 and proves that Chico is and always has been a city with passion for local beer. So it's kind of a series of beer that they make as a way to, in the spirit of the old brewery that was in Chico before Sierra Nevada. So this one here, it's a light straw colored beer. I get some kind of some corn malt smell.
Yep.
And you don't see any amber malt, but there is a little bit more, a little darker malt character to it. than I expected in the smell, just by looking at the color.
I'd say that it has a little, like, kind of that American lager.
Yeah, it definitely has the golden lager thing going on. I mean, that's what it is. But it does remind me of those German Bock beers. It's got that crisp, clean taste.
It's fairly sweet.
Yeah, a little sweetness to it.
I get a touch of grapefruit maybe on the nose. Something, maybe just a little tiny hint of citrus.
A little bit. I get maybe a little orange in the aftertaste. Just ever so slightly. This is a pretty subtle beer.
Very subtle. But as far as lagers go, which I tend to stray away from and not like on this show, I could drink this.
It's actually really good.
Yeah. Refreshing.
Very refreshing. Very, very easy to drink. Very crisp.
All right. So this one here is 6.8%, which is pretty surprising.
A typo?
What does the bottle say?
I don't know, but there's no way it tastes like 6.8%. That is crazy.
Is that what it says?
Yeah. No way. It tastes like a 5.5%, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that is surprising. And now let's get into the beer news of the day. All right, it was kind of a slow week for beer news, but there was a couple articles that popped up that was worth mentioning. Stone Cold Steve Austin has teamed up with El Segundo Brewing Company to make Broken Skull IPA. It'll be out November 13th, 2 weeks from now.
I got one thing to say about that.
Hell yeah! Is that a thing?
That's what Stone Cold says. You guys didn't know that?
No.
Nope.
I could be wrong.
I think you're right. And then another article that doesn't really work well for the podcast, but I wanted to mention because you can then check it out on the site, is somebody, it's called Flowing Data, they have used a computer algorithm to chart out the best beer road trip map. And so what they did was they took the 100 top breweries in America, and they plotted those on the map and had the computer decide what's the best route, you know, to hit all of them in the shortest amount of time.
Yep, I read this, and I'm a big fan of, well, breweries, obviously, but I like driving long distances, covering a lot of ground. I like that. And it looked like a pretty cool idea if you were a millionaire and didn't have to work. Because it would take you a good month or so to get through them all. But
so they had 70 brewery stops, 28 states, 197 driving hours, 12,000 miles.
Yeah, easy.
Let's do it.
It's just a weekend, right?
Sounds like a Wednesday.
Yeah. And so it was pretty cool that they listed all the breweries that they are going to visit.
Including Sierra Nevada, I think, if I remember correctly. Could be wrong.
I'm sure.
Sierra Nevada is on the list.
Yep.
So the California ones, Alpine, Ballast Point, Alesmith, Stone, The Brewery, Almanac, Lagunitas, Russian River, Bear Republic, Sierra Nevada, and then up to Oregon.
Good choices.
Yeah. So that there's a link to that in the news section. And then also I will put a link right on the podcast page so you can check that out. All right, well, let's move into the next beer.
Whew.
We have, good. Yeah, your first beer, Jeff.
I'm getting thirsty over here.
We have Northern Hemisphere Harvest Wet Hop IPA. Now, this one, I can't wait to try.
Yeah, this is the newest in the Harvest series for this year, right?
Yeah, the newest one. It just came out. Now, wet hopping is Sierra Nevada does a couple different terms for their hopping. They have wet hopping, which is what this beer uses, and that's when the hops are harvested and thrown into the brew kettle within 24 hours. So wow. It goes straight from harvesting to the brewing process in a very short amount of time.
Before they really start to dry out.
Yeah, there's no drying. It's just pick and put it in. So that's and then there's some other terms that we'll get to, like their what do they call it? Fresh hopping. Yeah. So they have wet hop, fresh hop, which is it's dried a little bit, but it's within the first week.
Right. Not pelletized or whatever.
Right. And then there's the dry hop, which is where they use the whole cone, and I'll explain about the torpedoes. So this beer, a nice orange color.
Yeah, darker than a lot of these beers.
It's way darker than I expected for, what is this, a 6.7% IPA. I mean, I drink a lot of IPAs, and this is a pretty dark color.
I don't get much aroma on it. Just a little light hoppy aroma.
A little resin, which I would probably expect from a wet hop beer, maybe a little more resin. I don't know for sure, but it makes sense.
Steve.
Yeah.
Steve's not a fan of the IPA so much.
Kind of tastes like my throat's on fire.
So this one...
It tastes fresh, but it doesn't have like a dank taste at all.
No, it's not overly hoppy. It's plenty hoppy, but I think of these harvest ones, they don't go too out of control like you'll get with, even Torpedo.
Tastes kind of herbal to me, like a herbal hop taste.
I get more like, I guess herbal, but fruity also. Not the tropical fruits, but
I'm not tasting any fruit.
So if we, let's talk about the base malt. I get kind of a caramel malt.
Definitely.
Profile. It kind of reminds me of like a Oktoberfest kind of beer as far as the base beer, but then there's that fresh hop taste on top of it.
Doesn't really taste how I expected it. I mean, I think this wet hopping thing is probably pretty rare, and I haven't had a lot of wet hop beers, but it's not really what I expected. It's maltier than I thought.
I think it's not overly hoppy, but I think it's very drinkable. I think you could give this to me on any occasion, yeah, and I'd be happy to drink it.
It's very fresh. Do you guys have a...
Where you can drink mine.
Yeah, ours had a date. It was...
Gladly.
9/22.
Yeah, same here.
These are twins.
That's not that long ago.
No.
It reminds me a bit of the recent Stone Enjoy By October 31st. Beer that I had, it's got a kind of, I don't know how to describe it, but it's kind of it's an herbal resiny taste, a little maltier than I would expect, but very, very drinkable and a fresh, you know, kind of clean taste.
It's a really easy drinker. I wish I had a better word to describe it, but it's not very IPA-y. It's more, I don't know. It's an ale that has some different flavor, malty, but I wouldn't call it like a East Coast malty, you know?
No.
No.
Very fresh, very crisp.
Yeah, I just think it's surprising that it's not overkill on the hoppiness.
What do you think the benefit of doing this wet hopping is? I mean, I know like over time, you know, hops lose their potency, and when they're dried and they're, you know, hops that have been there for 6 months are not as flavorful and strong as really fresh wet hops. But
apparently you get grassy, earthy, more herbal hop flavors. And then when you age them a little bit, it starts to get more into the citrus, pine, grapefruit, juniper type of tastes that you see in other IPAs. So I think it ends up, when it's wet hopped, it's a little more earthy.
I can see that in this beer.
A little more pine needly.
Yeah.
So this is the Northern Hemisphere harvest. And I mean, you guys are much more in tune with Sierra Nevada, where you live. I assume there's a Southern Hemisphere one like in, you know, 6 months down the road.
No, we already had it. It was back in April through June.
Right. So.
Right. So 6 months ago or maybe 6 months from now.
Yeah.
It's the Southern Hemisphere version.
Right. So they make the Southern Hemisphere in April and then the Northern one in September.
So how do they, where do they get the Southern Hemisphere hops from?
New Zealand and Australia for a lot of it.
Do they do the same thing where they get it from picked off the vine and into the kettle within 24 hours?
Well, I don't know if those are wet hopped.
Yeah, I don't think those are wet hopped.
Like gotcha. The Southern Hemisphere one for this year is labeled as fresh hop.
Right. So they harvest them and then within a week get it up to the brewery to make the thing.
Okay, that makes sense.
All right. Well,
I like it.
Let's learn a little about Sierra Nevada.
Okay.
A few weeks ago, I went to this festival in Sacramento, and they had this little handout of Sierra Nevada history timeline. And so Andy can go through and we can learn about Sierra Nevada.
So, you know, we all know quite a bit about Sierra Nevada. We spend a lot of time there. We spend a lot of time with their beers. We drink a lot of the beer. So I'll run into a little trivia and just a couple of little quick questions, and the winner gets a prize. So I'll get started here. Just say your name when you know the answer. What year was Sierra Nevada founded?
Dallas.
Check.
Dallas.
1979.
Ding.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw him Google
that. I thought
it
was earlier.
What was the first beer that Ken Grossman started brewing in his test brews?
I know this. Oh.
I mean, chef, I'll guess their pale ale.
Nope.
I don't know.
The Sierra Nevada Stout, a recipe that has hardly changed since.
Nice.
So what would you say our favorite beer is? You know, we have every year when it comes out, we have it just
both. Celebration.
What year was the first year for Celebration?
91.
Jeff?
Jeff. 91.
Dallas got it wrong. Jeff got it wrong.
I'll go with 92.
1981.
Wow.
Yep. That old?
Yep. So
they made that 2 years into it. Pretty good.
Yeah, 2 years in, and they say it's considered one of the first American IPAs, which it's got to be, right? What else?
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard that they Anchor, their IPA, or...
Anchor IPA was the first.
Right, yeah. Was the first, and so... He had that, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to make a beer like that, and that's what Celebration was. So, but yeah, definitely, I love Celebration when that comes out. Just last week, I had my very first Celebration of this year at the bar.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's always like a moment every year. It's like the first Celebration. Nothing's better than that first Celebration.
Yeah.
And then you have like several hundred over the next 3 months. And I
agree to disagree.
And I don't know if it changes every year. It seems like it does, but I don't really know.
I think it's your taste buds change more than anything.
My taste buds change. So this year tastes a lot different to me. It's very good, but it seems different than last year.
Did you guys save any from last year? Because I remember last year
we stopped doing that.
We tried 2 years like a vertical tasting.
It doesn't work. So yeah. It's a fresh hop IPA and true.
Not designed for that.
It's just not designed. It just doesn't get better with age.
So, well, we're going to have this on a future winter beers, winter warmer podcast.
Because we used to try and save it because, you know, we like Celebration, but then it goes away. So we would stockpile cases of it.
Cases.
So we could continue to drink it into the spring. And we stockpiled so much of it that we would have some left over by the next year. And when you compare the new one to the old one, it is just night and day. The old one is a completely different beer.
I remember
it's not that good.
I remember the year when Dallas and Joel were mixing like three different years. We had a 12, a 13, and a 14, I think, and we were mixing them all together.
Yeah,
just to see.
But really, the new one was always the best. Yeah.
So the winner was Dallas. Dallas, as the winner, you get to choose your beer of the day first.
Okay, great.
Good prize.
Congratulations.
I will choose. all right, well, let's move into the next one. We have the Estate Homegrown Ale. Also 6.7%. Also wet hops. So this one is grown with only ingredients that were grown right at Sierra Nevada Brewery. It's all grown right there on the premises, everything. So they just go outside their door, pick it, and brew it. So it's as, about as fresh as you can get.
These are extremely wet hops. They are in the brew kettle within 24 minutes.
Really?
Well, they could be.
We don't know that. But it's all organic. I mean, everything they do there is organic. So this is supposed to be what Chico tastes like. This is the essence of Chico, Northern California, essence right in the glass.
Chico.
So this has a lot more aroma than the last one. But I still have a big bottle here of the last one, and I poured it all in my glass, and I'm comparing side by side. I swear these are the exact same color.
I'd say the color looks very similar. This one has a thicker head.
This one looks a little... clear, right?
No, I don't think so. I think they're almost identical.
They're the same.
Do you have the Jeff's new
got
one?
Them both right now.
Double fisting.
I trust
you guys
him.
Can see that. They're exactly the same color.
I even get a really similar smell. I mean, I'm not getting overwhelmed by a big, you know, burst of flavor in my nose.
Now, 2014, I had the 2014 version of this beer at the brewery, and I wasn't a fan. I was kind of disappointed that that's what I ordered just because I didn't enjoy it. So I'm looking forward to seeing if this is any different, if they learned any lessons from year to year, or maybe that's what they grow there. You know, that's just the way it comes out.
Well, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
So what, when I'm looking at the data here compared to the last one, I mean, they're the same color. They're both 6.7%. They're both 67 IBUs. They both use wet hops. Like, are these beers that different?
They smell the same to me.
There's a lot. They're the same IBU, but there's a lot more bitterness in this beer.
No,
they're both from the Northern Hemisphere.
Thought the previous one was much more bitter. I thought that the Northern Hemisphere Harvest was more bitter.
This has a lot more lingering bitterness.
This one is a little bit more syrupy to me. It's not quite as crisp, not quite as carbonated, a little bit flatter.
I agree with Steve here. This is not as bitter to me. It's got kind of, this one has more of an earthy, piney taste.
Definitely.
Than the last one. And it's a little more citrus and a little like spice on the aftertaste.
I could choke this one down if I had to. The previous one I couldn't.
I really agree with Andy though. This is more bitter.
Yeah.
It's like a cumulative bitterness.
Like the dry mouth
on the tongue.
Yeah.
We can revisit the other harvest if you want to try it. See.
I like the other one better. But, you know, this does remind me a lot of the beer I had the year before. And maybe it's just that bitter finish. I really don't like that.
Can you pour me just one more taste of that harvest?
Yeah, I'm trying them side by side. I think the harvest is more bitter. I mean, everybody's palate is different, but
the harvest to me was so bitter, I couldn't even like swallow it. I just got it. I was like, nope, super bitter. I couldn't do it.
You spit it out.
I almost did.
I don't get the bitterness on that. It's a little. The harvest is sweeter to me.
Are you sure you know which one you have in which hand, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, neither one to me is very bitter. I mean, I don't think these are bitter beers at all. But the second one, the Estate Organic, has a little more flavor to me. It's just got more
that soapy bitterness that I get from some IPAs that not my deal.
I gotta have a few more sips, but I think this Estate Organic Homegrown IPA just has more of an earthy, citrusy, piney taste that I didn't really get much of in the first one.
I do like that you said a little bit of a spice at the end, because I do get that too. almost like a really faint nutmeg or cinnamon or something along those lines.
So that reminds me of something. So one of the big, the most, the questions that we were talking about celebration, and one of the questions that they get is, what type of spices do you brew in your celebration? They say, is it cinnamon or is it nutmeg? And there's no spices in celebration. It's just the hops.
Yeah, it's probably just how the hops. Yeah.
The hop profile.
Yeah.
But so it's amazing. All these different types of beers, you get these different tastes that we can compare. We say, oh, it's that's cinnamon, when it's just a characteristic of the hops.
And how they used it.
And how they used it.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
All right, let's do some comments this week. Tanya Carmody writes on the website, this was on the 25th of October, my husband wants to know where to get the beers. Now, this is a tough question because it depends on the beer that you're talking about. She was talking about Indian Well Spicy Pumpkin Ale. Now, if you're in Chesapeake, Virginia, you're not going to be able to find Indian Wells beers there. So, you know, beer in this country is very local. Here in Sacramento, we get a lot of Sacramento beers, Northern California beers, and we don't get any Virginia beers at all unless it's a, you know, a bigger brewery.
We don't even get Indian Wells.
Right, we don't even get Indian Wells.
You do now at the new Total Wine and More that opened. I saw it.
Okay, so, but yeah, so distribution, until a brewery gets big, you're not going to see the smaller breweries, you know, outside of the local area. And that's just part of the game. So you're going to, in Virginia, you're going to have your own beers there that we can't get here and we'll never get here. But that's just a... What you have to do is try them out, you know, figure out what you like in your local market, and eventually us at Beer of the Day will get over there and try those beers and get them up on the website. So at this point, it's early stages, and but, you know, the more and more beer that we try, we cover more areas. And on the show, we're doing a Northern California brewery tonight, but... you know, we've been trying to mix it up, and we did Founders, and we did Pelican last week.
Boulevard,
yeah. Kansas City. So
but those guys are more widely distributed. Those are some of the bigger guys.
So we're doing the beers that we can get here, and eventually, you know, there's how shipping is. You know, it's, you can't just go online and buy it for the most part. And there's all kinds of interstate laws and shipping laws. And
there's got to be a beer black market website somewhere.
There are.
Definitely.
Well, and this question, I mean, I went to the Indian Wells Brewery. It's in this tiny town called Inyokern, which, I mean, there can't be more than like 1,000 people that live there. And I stood next to like people, like the guys working there that were bottling this beer. It's a tiny place. It's probably the smallest brewery I've ever been to in my life. So if you can get it, great, but it's not, you know, we try to have some of these beers that are a little more obscure. And there's a reason for that. We don't want all the mainstream beers.
Yeah. Okay. So, and then on Facebook, Timothy Sawtack commented on our Stone 24 Karat Golden Ale. And he said he was hesitant to purchase, but with your description, I will now purchase. So he's going to try the beer and get back to us and let us know what he thinks.
Good choice, Timothy.
Yeah. That was a favorite of ours a couple weeks ago. So very good. Anyone who writes into this show will get put into the drawing to win the 6-pack of Beer of the Day coasters. These are high quality, made with the highest quality cardboard. And Andy will hold it up to the camera. So Tanya and Timothy, I'll contact you and I'll send you both a 6-pack of Beer of the Day coasters. So thanks for writing in. We love to hear from you. You can contact us a lot of different ways. On the podcast page, you can just leave your comments right underneath in the comment section right there. We post everything to Facebook and Twitter, and you can comment on Facebook and Twitter. The links to Facebook and Twitter and Instagram are all in the upper right-hand corner of the website. So you'll see the little Facebook icon, Twitter icon, Instagram icon. You can click those and it'll take you to the various pages. Like us, follow us, and interact with us. Beer of the Day is a beer community, so we'd love to hear from you. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we have the barrel-aged segment of the show. We have
a trifecta.
Barrel-aged Sierra Nevada beers to try. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you like this podcast and would like to support us, then you can help us out in a couple of different ways. I put up a new page on the website called Support Beer of the Day, and it's right there in the community menu. You click that, and it lists the ways that you can help us out. One way is by shopping through Amazon. A lot of people shop through Amazon anyway. So what you can do is just go to amazon.beeroftheday.com when you're going to go do your Amazon shopping. And that will take you to Amazon just like normal, and you do your regular shopping. But if you do it through our link, then we get a little kickback, and that will help us keep the lights on here. It doesn't cost you a single penny more. And so you can just do your regular Amazon shopping. Doesn't affect you at all, and we'll get a few pennies here and there. I also put up a banner for Uber. If, say, you're out brewery hopping, or maybe you're at the local pub and they had too many great beers that you needed to try and you had one too many, let Uber drive you home. And if you sign up for Uber through our link, then we're going to get a little commission on that. So all you have to do is go to uber.beeroftheday.com, sign up. Your first ride is free. Doesn't cost you anything. And we're going to get a couple of percentage points there, and it's going to help us pay for our hosting, bandwidth, and of course the beer that we're drinking here tonight. So one other way you can help us is by telling a friend. If you have a friend that enjoys craft beer and you think would enjoy this podcast, let them know about it. Send them the link and introduce them to the podcast, and that's going to help us immensely. All right, let's get back to our barrel age segment of our Sierra Nevada show. Welcome back to the Beer of the Day podcast, our Sierra Nevada show. We have our first barrel-aged Sierra Nevada beer. This is Ovila, is how it's pronounced, I believe. Barrel-aged Ovila, Belgian-style double, 8.5%. Now, I've had several of the Ovila beers before, but never barrel aged. I think this is a new one for them this year.
That was very disappointing, Andy.
It was.
Now this is where the show really begins. Three barrel aged huge bottles here. I have five other people coming over pretty soon to help me drink all these.
Jeff has a flight to catch in about 6 hours.
So I've had Ovila before, but never the barrel aged. And then we're going to have the barrel-aged Bigfoot, which I never had before. And then this is the brand new barrel-aged Narwhal that just came out. So we got a lot of barrel-aged beers to try.
It smells like I'm going to be eating a banana. Like, that's all I smell, just huge banana smell.
That's typical in Belgian-style beers. That's what the yeast lends to it.
Especially with a double. I get that a lot with doubles.
This is extremely dark for a Belgian double.
Yeah, it is. I actually like the color a lot.
But that could be what the barrel lends to
the barrel aging, yeah.
I mean, I haven't had a taste yet, but I smell bananas and like burnt brown sugar.
It's a kind of a copper color. A penny from 1975. And the head is a light tan color. And there's quite a bit of it.
Isn't the barrel aging generally kind of mellow out of beer?
Is it kind yeah, of it will. Does it say what kind of barrels?
I'd say this beer is pretty mellow. It has a really nice flavor to it, but it's not, you know, very overpowering at all.
It just says wine barrels, not specific as to what type of wine barrel. Oh, yeah.
Chardonnay.
Oh, actually, I take that back. It's a blend of red wine barrels and bourbon barrels.
Really?
Never mind about the Chardonnay.
That was a guess.
Red Chardonnay.
Yes.
And bourbon Chardonnay.
I think it's really smooth. I like it.
The Ovila series is a series of beers brewed with the monks of the Abbey of New Clairvaux.
Yes.
And so they're all different types of beers. There's this, you know, they come out with a different one every now and again. So this is
that's in Corning, I believe.
The monks?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so Jamie was going to be on the show tonight. Or Dave and Jamie, and they just this week on, I think Tuesday, they went up to Sierra Nevada Brewery, and then they went to this monastery afterward.
Really?
And they said it was really cool. So we'll have them on sometime, and they can tell us a story about that visit. But it might be something we should check out here.
This is unique. Wow.
It doesn't taste like a traditional Belgian when you're thinking about it, like drinking a Belgian double.
It has kind of a champagne thing.
I was thinking the same thing. It's funny because when Dal said Chardonnay barrels, I was almost thinking, I can almost taste the Chardonnay in this. And then lo and behold, they don't use Chardonnay. But I think it does have that quality.
Well, they do use oak, which you would use in Chardonnay, but that's the bourbon barrels. But that's what the oak you kind of lends to the beer. There's not a lot of bourbon flavor, so maybe they didn't leave a lot of bourbon in the barrel.
Yeah, I would say.
You know, I love this beer, and when I talk about Belgian style ales, doubles are my least favorite. I like Belgian triples a lot. Just a regular Belgian ale is good. Belgian doubles are the ones I really don't gravitate towards, but I really like the flavor of this beer.
This is excellent.
It's mild. It doesn't have very much Belgian yeast characteristics. No. There's a little banana.
The dark cherry. I get a lot of cherry notes.
Yeah, definitely. And then there's trying to place it.
I really just get that Chardonnay, that kind of grapey, you know, almost.
Yeah, with the carbonation. It's,
yeah.
Yeah.
Very isn't this champagne. Just as smooth as silk? Yep. I mean, I don't see how you can drink this beer and not, like, no one could drink this beer and not like it.
Yeah, there's nothing that you.
I mean, I'm sure there's somebody that wouldn't, but.
I mean, you might not love it, but it's not, no one's going to taste it and be like, oh, this is horrible.
Now, it's only 8.5%, which this is the lowest alcohol of the three we're going to have. But yeah. it doesn't taste, I mean, I think 8.5 is fitting. It tastes about in that range. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why it doesn't have a lot of that kind of sweet, like you said, the, you know, typical Belgian double.
Yeah, it doesn't have that. It doesn't have the high alcohol flavor you get out of a bourbon barrel beer. Wow. That's a pleasant surprise.
Pretty good.
I think the first Ovila I ever had was the Saison, and I wasn't a huge fan. And I don't know if I've had any of the others, but this is great.
I like the label, too.
Okay, it kind of scares me a little bit.
That's his job.
This is top-notch. I mean, I'm very impressed with the, you know, we've only had one here, and this is superb.
I can't find any fault in this beer. It is just so smooth and drinkable and so well balanced. It's, you know, it's that's tough to duplicate.
I mean, this is on par with Dallas and I went to Belgium a few months ago. This is on par with those very best Belgian beers that we had while we were there.
Yeah, very good. All right, so I mentioned that Dave and Jamie had gone on the brewery tour just this last week. I went on the tour last year, and I wanted to just kind of recommend to everybody, if you're ever in Chico and haven't been on their brewery tour, definitely take it. They start you out in the tasting room, the tour tasting room, and they have all their beers on tap, and they'll give you a little sampler of anything that you want to try. And they get you a little lubed up, you know, ready for the tour. You go on the tour, and they take you through kind of the typical brewery type stuff, where you have the big kettles and the fermentation tanks, and they kind of show you the process. But the tour that I went on, they took us and they actually let us try beer out of these huge 1200 keg tanks. And they had these kind of a, you know, you have this beer above your head, a huge amount of beer, and they have this coil that allows them to pour beer with that much pressure on top. Yep. It like coils around. And so I got to try, this was last year, their Oktoberfest, which was about 2 weeks from being done. And I got to try their porter and their stout also, which was very cool. Sierra Nevada is very advanced in their techniques. They have temperature control and all these graphing equipment that shows you, you know, for this beer, we let it sit at this temperature for a while, and then we raise it up to this temperature, and then we lower it back, drop it back down. And they have, you know, the graphs, and you can see like the history of what's happened to that beer during the process. They were making their Kellerweiss, and they take you into this open room, open fermentation. They have these huge tanks, open air.
Yep.
It's
vats of beer.
Vats, right? Of, yeah, beer, maybe 30 yards by 30 yards wide. And it's just open, bubbling, foaming yeast. You know, it's all active, you know. And you look at this and it's like, wow, that's...
I'm going to drink that.
I'm going to drink that in however long, yep, you know, which was very cool. And then they take you into the hop refrigerator. This was, they had just got in fresh hops that they were going to make their harvest series with at that time. I don't know if it was northern or southern hemisphere, but it's a freezer. It's a warehouse that is below zero. This was in the middle of summer. It was 100 degrees out. I walk into a huge warehouse that's 30 degrees. And it smells, it's the best smell I've ever smelled in my life. It was heaven on earth. I mean, the hop aroma in this room, it was cold because it was hot outside. So it feels great. And then you have this fresh hop smell that was unlike anything I've ever experienced.
And it's just mountains of hops, right? They're just stacked to the ceiling almost.
I would pay $50 right now to go in that room for 20 minutes.
Well, I can get you in.
That's how cool this place was. And so those are some highlights of the trip. Definitely a very cool brewery tour. They also explain all of the reusability and you know, the environmentally conscious efforts that they make as a brewery to make sure that you know, in making beer you consume a lot of, mm-hmm, of water, a lot of
electricity,
temperature
control, that materials. Takes a lot of electricity.
Yeah, so they are all about sustainability. So they have a huge solar array, and I think they pretty much try to keep their fingerprint on their what they use to absolute minimum. So they're very good at that as well. And it's nice to be able to do that when you're the biggest brewery in California and you are making billions of dollars.
Right.
You know, you can afford to have the absolute best in equipment, in cost to the environment, and they do it right at Sierra Nevada.
And I mean, in addition to the tour, anybody that's there, go to the restaurant. All the beers are on tap. Food's excellent. It's reasonably priced. You're going to have a great time. It's so clean and perfect. Everything about that place to me is just, it's where I would want to be at any given moment.
Right. And they have all their beers on tap, and it's not expensive. It's $5 a beer. And, you know, anything you want. Barrel aged narwhal, they'll have it there. They have, and then also beers that you never even heard before. They never bottled it or whatever. So every time you go, there's something you haven't had before. So definitely check out their brewery in Chico. And the festivals too. I mean, that single fresh, wet, and
wild
festival that we've been to, they didn't have it this year. They're going to bring it back next year. And those, I mean, you can't beat it. Beat it for as far as beer festivals go. All right, well, let's move into the barrel aged Bigfoot barley wine.
Much better.
So this one, the Bigfoot I've had before. You know, they have the Bigfoot challenges where you
duct tape
Bigfoot to your hands.
No, that's a whole different thing. The Bigfoot challenge is you got to drink a six pack of Bigfoot, which I think they don't even sell in six packs anymore.
I think they do.
I think they're four packs. But maybe I could be wrong.
That's the Bigfoot challenge. What's the one where they duct tape the
Edward 40 hands?
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes. But the Bigfoot challenge is six Bigfoots in an hour.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
Ooh.
But barrel-aged Bigfoot, I've never had before, so I'm looking forward to this.
Me too, and
12.2%.
Last time I had...
Go ahead, Jeff.
Last time I had Bigfoot was years ago, and I really didn't like it. So I'm hoping the Bigfoot barrel-aged is a better version for me.
I think barrel-aging would be good for Bigfoot. Bigfoot's a hoppy barley wine, which we've had a few of lately, but... I think that the barrel aging will really mellow out the hop because barley wines really don't need a big hit of bitterness.
So I have that sweet.
I think so too.
It's kind of a sweet smell. I get, is there any brown sugar in there?
Oh yeah.
That's what I'd say. Brown sugar smell.
Yes.
When I think my palate has evolved a lot since I had the regular Bigfoot, and it takes time to like get up to a beer like this. This is not for the faint of heart for sure.
This is a kind of another orangish copper color. It's pretty cloudy. There's some like particles floating in there. Head is thin, light tan. You know, it looks an awful lot like the Ovila we just had.
Yeah.
Had a really interesting mouthfeel to this. I got some of that bitterness Andy was alluding to a little bit, but then it really mellowed out though and kind of turned into like a almost like an espresso taste on the end of it.
Yeah, I don't know if I get the bitterness of espresso, but I do get that if you drink a lot of like bitter coffee, just like with beer, once you get past the bitterness, there's a lot of like fruity flavors, not bright fruit, but that dark fruit, dark pitted fruits. I get a lot of that.
Me too. I think I don't even know where to begin. This beer is so complex. Like I just wrote down so many flavors that I pick up on. I get dark fruits, oak, dark fruits. I get like cherry, big date, raisins, like those types of things. I also get some vanilla and caramel. Mm-hmm. But more than anything else, I get like a whiskey flavor. I think the whiskey from the whiskey barrels that this is aged in kind of, I don't want to say overwhelms, but it kind of dominates the flavor here. This you guys get that?
A lot. Like, you feel the burn on this beer.
Yeah, I feel like the alcohol flavor, it has does have a whiskey taste to it.
It's also has the alcohol strongness where you got to just sip this. If you take too big of a sip, there's a kick to it.
You feel like you just took a shot.
Like drinking a scotch neat, you know, you're not going to take big gulps of that.
Maybe you don't.
You have to drink this slowly. And
this is a boozy beer.
Boozy.
It is.
Whew.
And coming off of the Ovila, which was like this, it was 8.5%, but it was just a super smooth, drinkable beer. And then you move into the barley wine, and this thing is no joke.
If you sit for 30 seconds without taking a sip, there's a lot of bitterness there. A lot of bitterness, hot bitterness.
Some piney hops.
Yeah, I mean the hops that are in barley wine or in Bigfoot.
Have you guys had the regular Bigfoot recently? Like, could anybody compare this to the regular Bigfoot or not this year?
I would say I could, but it's similar, but it's got a lot of the burn for sure, and it's got a lot more of those like the dark fruit notes that you don't get in the Bigfoot.
What style of beer is a Bigfoot?
It's a barley wine.
It is. Okay, I figured it was.
I think there's a lot of sweetness here too. Like there's some what I would consider burnt flavors like leather or cigar flavor. But then as you go into the finish, there's kind of a brown sugar, like
leather was good, and that's a good description.
Yeah, but I think it's so complex that this is like one of the beers where I could name 20 flavors that I get from this thing. And as you have like the finish, it's kind of a brown sugar sweetness. I think there's a lot of sweetness in this beer as well. And maybe that's pretty typical for a barley wine, but there's vanilla, there's caramel. I mean, everything I named earlier, it's just, there's so many flavors here.
It's we talk about, you know, a lot of times complex beers, and I agree with you, Jeff. There's a lot of flavor, so there's complexity there. But what really defines a complex beer that is good is balance between all of those flavors, and this is way past any kind of balance to me.
It's a little tough to drink.
Yeah,
and regular Bigfoot is 9.6%. This is 12.2%. So there's a lot more alcohol in here.
Well, that means that they took a lot of the bit whiskey or whatever.
You can taste it.
You can taste it. I mean, they left a lot of that in the barrel. But this was just regular Bigfoot, and they put it in a barrel.
Right.
I really like this beer, but I would love to age this somewhere for like a year or two to mellow it out. I think it's very, very whiskey dominant. And I like the beer. It's flavorful, but I would love to age it for a year or two.
I'll buy you a new one, Jeff, but send me $20.
We got to buy more. Stick it in your non-existent basement.
Yes.
Jeff, buy a couple of Uber rides, and then they can pay for the beer.
But this is good. I mean, I like this beer. I think this is flavorful. I think it just could use a little time.
Hey, Jeff, are you going to drink the rest of that bottle tonight?
Well...
He's not saying no.
Whichever of the three barrel aged ones I like the best, I'm going to drink that.
So, of the two you've had so far, that would be the one?
No, I really like them. I like them both.
I can't imagine drinking that whole bottle by myself.
No way.
That'd be bad news bears. All right. Let's move into our third barrel aged beer. This is the barrel aged Narwhal Imperial Stout, 12.9, highest alcohol percentage of the night.
Best cork pop yet, Andy.
It takes us a little bit to open these ones. They got the twisty thingy.
Look at that color.
Corked and caged, it's called.
Corked and caged.
Or twisty thingy.
This is a good Halloween beer. It's like so dark.
Yeah, so we are 15 minutes from Halloween. It's the 30th at 11, quarter to 12.
Should we just go out and knock on the neighbor's door?
This beer is the color of midnight.
Ask me after this Norwal, I might say yes.
I have the appropriate glass. I don't know about you guys, but I got my
stout, glass.
Stout glasses from Left Hand in Colorado.
What'd you say, Steve?
I said it's the color of midnight.
Yeah, color of midnight. There's just a little bit of amber color peeking through on the very bottom, but this is dark, dark, dark brown.
Like older viscosity or old viscosity.
And then the head is even kind of a...
Quickly dissipates, for sure.
Yeah, but it's very tan
dark,
colored.
Dark beige.
Tan. Yeah.
There's a lot of alcohol in this.
Yeah, you can tell there's a lot of alcohol just from the smell. It smells strong.
We had this beer once before on one of our test podcasts, and I don't particularly remember it, but I do remember it having a lot of kick, so I'm looking forward to it.
The smell, I get a little coffee and a little alcohol, bourbon.
I get a lot of chocolate on the aroma.
Yeah,
I do dark, chocolate dark too. Chocolate.
Yeah.
Kind of has that dark chocolate bitter smell to it.
If you have a hot mocha and you just stuck your nose in the glass, I could get that.
Now
for sure.
The kick on this is surprisingly less than the last one, even though it's more alcohol.
Yep, tastes a lot more mellow. Yeah, mellow. I taste a little marshmallow, like toasted marshmallow taste, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, you have those toasted malts in there. That's going to lend to that.
So, I mean, that's the overwhelming flavor is that the roasted malts.
I remember the last time we had this, we had it with the regular narwhal. And now, like, going back from that Bigfoot, this seems like tame. You know,
it seems tame,
but it's really not. You know, it's
sweet
to,
too. Like,
it's sweet, but
and I remember narwhal being like darker and smokier. This seems to be sweeter to me.
It's real easy to drink. There's no real harshness to it.
It's got kind of a, I don't know if this is a flavor, but roasted toffee. Is that a flavor?
Yes,
could be.
If you were to cook your toffee too long.
That's how I would describe this, roasted toffee. There are lots of toffee, espresso, coffee. I agree with Steve, the toasted marshmallow. I definitely get that.
Cappuccino. Anybody drink cappuccinos around here?
Yep.
That's what I get, because you get a lot of the espresso with a little bit of chocolate.
Yeah. I think it's really enjoyable. I mean, it's really... It's so smooth. There's just no harshness. I mean, it's not the Ovila. It's not like that very mellowness to it. It has a lot of flavor, but it's...
You imagine going from this to that? It's a world of difference.
It's a world of difference, but I think just the mouthfeel of it, the kind of the smoothness of it, the creaminess, I think there's some similarity there.
I think this is for the coffee drinker. The Ovila is for somebody who doesn't like coffee.
Yeah, that's good comparison.
The Bigfoot's for nobody.
Bigfoot's
I like the Bigfoot.
It's for whiskey lovers.
Yeah, that's Jeff. Jeff had a fifth of Whistle Pig before the show. Well, this is you know, we've had a few barrel aged beers recently on the show, and they all seem to be like kind of the perfect example of that type of beer. And none of these are that. Oh, the Ovila might be, but these last few aren't that. But they're really interesting. You know, they have a lot to offer. A lot of different things to offer you.
Definitely.
So I haven't had any three of these, like the normal version. I mean, what would you guys say is the biggest difference between the barrel aging? Does each one of these beers individually have a whole different characteristic from the barrel aging, or is it kind of a general, they all kind of took on the same characteristics?
I'd say mellowness on Ovila and the Narwhal.
Yeah.
And I think that the increase in alcohol on the barley wine has just turned that into a gnarlier version of Bigfoot.
Of a gnarly beer. You got to start with that being said.
It's, Bigfoot is rough to drink anyway. I mean, it's a barley wine. It's supposed to be. But that is just Bigfoot on crack.
I will not be doing the barrel aged Bigfoot challenge anytime soon.
No.
But this last one, this narwhal, I don't know that I taste like a barrel aged flavor. The first two, I definitely got like a barrel aged flavor profile with each sip. This one, it tastes like a,
I think,
like a creamy, silky coffee stout.
Right, but I think that narwhal is supposed to be a little bit darker, smokier, yeah. And this is smoothed out, I think.
I think your palate might be slightly wrecked from the Bigfoot.
Could be.
That's. I put it in order of ABV, but I think it should have been in order of style.
Knowing how gnarly that beer was.
Yeah, I didn't know, but I know now.
Well, no, I think we have to end with this, because if I had this before the Bigfoot, it would have completely changed the taste of the Bigfoot.
I think it would have changed it for the better, honestly.
No, Bigfoot was good.
All right, so we have an extra little special segment at the end of this show that involves this beer, the Barrel-Aged Narwhal, but let's recap the beers we've had and pick our beers of the day.
Okay, so today on our Sierra Nevada feature show, we started off with the Old Chico Pale Bock. Second, we had the Northern Hemisphere Harvest Wet Hop IPA. And then before the commercial, we had their Estate Homegrown Ale. We came back and we had the barrel-aged Ovila Belgian Style Double, then the barrel-aged Bigfoot Barley Wine Style Ale, and we finished it off with the barrel-aged Narwhal Imperial Stout. And since Dallas won the contest, he gets to kick this off.
All right, so tough decision. Especially being as I'm an IPA fan, and we had a couple IPAs on the show here. I think my usual trend would be to go with the Northern Hemisphere Wet Hop IPA, but I'm not going to do that because the barrel-aged Ovila was so good. I mean, it was, like I said when we were drinking the beer, I can't find a complaint with it. It is smooth as silk. You can taste the craftsmanship in this beer. And it's for the style, that Belgian style double, I can't really think of a better one than that. So I got to go with Ovila.
Good choice.
Jeffrey.
I didn't know if Dallas was going to pick that, but I have to agree. I mean, as much as I want to pick the Bigfoot Ale, which would...
Please do.
not make Andrew happy.
He doesn't care what you pick.
He doesn't care. But so let me just say that I thought these three barrel-aged beers were all excellent. I loved them all.
Agreed.
Which I was really looking forward to. I grew up drinking Sierra Nevada, and
as a child,
right off the bottle.
No, but I mean, this was
they started this is the in 1979. He was born in 1981. Natural fit.
No, but I'm so used to drinking like these common mainstream Sierra Nevada beers, and to try these barrel aged beers was really good for me, and I enjoyed all three of them. The first half of the show, they were okay. I liked them. But these three barrel-aged beers were all excellent. And I have to agree with Dallas. The Ovila was the best. I thought that was the banana flavors, the brown sugar. It's a style of beer that I normally don't enjoy. And I really thought that was a fantastic beer. And again, it's a tough choice, but for me, Ovila, beer of the day.
So, you know, before I picked my beer, I want to say, before we started the show, Steve gave me the, you know, he didn't think there was going to be a single beer on the show that he was going to like. And I knew that, because he talks about Sierra Nevada. Well, the Sierra Nevada beers we have laying around are Celebration, Hop Hunter, Pale Ale, Torpedo, IPAs, Pale Ales, hoppy beers, stuff he doesn't like anyways. And I was like, Steve, you're going to find something on here that you really like. And I think he did. But I'm prefacing his decision with that. But, I'm going to pick the Ovila also. That's just it's a perfect beer. It really is. I don't know of another barrel-aged Belgian beer. I guess we had one last week or the week before. I don't remember. But we had one recently, the BBQ. I don't remember who that was from.
Boulevard.
Boulevard, yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't see that very often. You know, it was, you could, like Dal said, you could tell this beer was crafted very meticulously. They took a lot of time and care into making sure it was right. Anytime you get a beer that has like just that perfect texture and perfect quality for what it is, you can't beat it. So that's my pick.
Yeah, I don't know how they did it, and I hope they can recreate it if they're going to do it again. Yeah.
It was the Monks. They added their special seasoning in it. Okay, I'm gonna go off the reservation here.
Really?
Yep. I liked the Ovila. It was definitely I was really debating. I had a 1A and a 1B. So and this was not just because you guys all took the Ovila. I honestly, the one I enjoyed the most was the Old Chico Pale Buck. I don't know if it's just because that style lends most to my palate and my preference of beer.
Sure.
Maybe today I was just feeling more like kind of like a lighter beer. But I mean I was really pleasantly surprised with it, because like Andy said, I typically am not a huge fan of Sierra Nevada, and that was the first beer we tried, and I was like, wow, this is good.
Well, you probably haven't had that type of style from Sierra Nevada before. Yep. I mean, normally it's pale ale or higher.
Typically every Sierra beer I've ever tasted has that kind of that hop flavor that they use a lot, and it's not something that appeals to me a whole lot.
Cascade
hop. And man, I tried that Pale Bock and I was like, yeah, I could definitely drink this any day. This is really good. So that's what I'm taking.
What my favorite moment from the show, and I don't know for sure, but I'm going to go when I go back and listen to it, was when Andy realized that it was 6.8%. And he's like, what? Wait. And he thought it was a misprint, you know, and he was looking at the bottle to confirm that. And for that beer, I mean, it tastes like 5.5%.
That was a lager that I enjoyed, and that is rare. I could go, there's more in the fridge, I could drink more of them, no problem. That's rare for me.
And I think that the three of us picked Ovila. That barrel-aged Narwhal is pretty damn good beer, and I feel bad that it goes without recognition. So I wanted to say that is really good beer. It has the sweetness, but it's obviously a heavy beer, but drinkable. A lot of different qualities to it, a lot of different competing flavors. And on a lot of shows, that would be the beer of the day.
I think for sure it's going to be in our dish of the day.
Yeah, so speaking of that, I mentioned that Dave and Jamie and Scott were at the Sierra Nevada Brewery, and they had this barrel-aged Narwhal there. And as part of the tour, they suggested and had them try vanilla ice cream with barrel-aged Narwhal drizzled on top. And so just to close this show out, we're going to go ahead and try that right now and see if we can recommend that to you. Now, we don't want to try to recommend anything that we haven't tried ourselves. And so we have the beer.
We'll try it so you don't have to.
And we have the ice cream. And so we'll give that a go. All right. I'm taking the Narwhal and my cup of ice cream here. And I'm going to...
You just drizzle it? Is that right?
Drizzle, you know,
douse
a fair amount. We're not going float status, but we're going... See how this is.
Yeah, pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
And it sure beats a root beer float.
Jeff, do you care to add to that? Do you think it's pretty good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is excellent.
Wow. Okay.
All right, so new dessert. Barrel-aged narwhal, vanilla ice cream. Mix those two together, and you can't go wrong. All right, I want to bring up one more point before we go. Tanya was talking about where can she get the beers. And I mentioned that, you know, every area is going to have a lot of local beers that we can't get here. And the beers that we have here, we can't get there. So Beer of the Day is a community for all of its users. And if you're a user of the Beer of the Day site, you can add your own beers. You can, if you have a beer that you like and or you've had, you can write a description of it, take a picture of it, add the beer to the site, and we will feature your beer as the Beer of the Day for everybody in the world to see, all of our users. And so every day, the beers on this podcast, we take pictures of, write descriptions, put them up, and those are the beers of the day that you see each day on the front page of the site, posted to Facebook, posted to Twitter and Instagram.
We need your help doing that. That's for sure. There's too many beers. Breweries are popping up every day or two. There's a new one coming out.
There's two new breweries a day.
No way we can keep up with all those beers. So we need your help.
Definitely. And, you know, we'll make your beer the beer of the day, and then everybody else that follows Beer of the Day will be able to see your handiwork. And it's fun, too. I mean, Jeff is taking pictures every single day. I'm writing descriptions, and, you know, it's having that out there, and everybody who enjoys beer gets to experience the Beer of the Day, and it's definitely fun. So if you haven't done it yet, try adding a Beer of the Day. All right. Well, let's close out our Sierra Nevada show. But we thank you for tuning in and remind you to check out our website, beeroftheday.com. We'll see you next time on our next show. It's kind of a weird one-off one, but I have this random box of beer that I don't know what's in it. And so we're going to drink that.
We're going to mow through that sucker.
We're going to mow through it. We don't even know what's in it. For Jeff Miller, Andy Hamilton, Steve Williamson, I'm Dallas Helliker. We'll see you next time on the Beer of the Day podcast.